Well, I don't know about you, but I know it's a good day to celebrate the Lord. And so we are here this morning, and we're going to begin a new series that I'm calling God Never Said That. We're going to look and talk about, over the next several weeks, some different cultural beliefs that people attribute to God. But the reality is that God never said those things, at least not that we have in his word. And so today we're going to probably address the most popular one that we like to say, that God wants you to be happy. Now, I would love to tell you that above all else, that God's just severely wants you to be happy, that God wants only good things to come and happen in your life, but that's one of the bigger cultural mistakes that we tend to have about God. And the reason I say all of that is because if it's all about being happy, then it starts us down a road to other misbeliefs that we can call the theology of happiness. All right? If you believe that God's supreme goal is for you to be happy, here's eventually what you start to do. It creates this cycle. First, you believe that God wants me to be happy above all else, so then whatever makes me happy must be right. And whatever doesn't make me happy must be wrong. So then naturally we start to understand that, well, any discomfort, any delay, any risk, any suffering, inconvenience, or obstacle surely can't be God's will. So in other words, if something isn't going right, then, well, it must not be God working in my life, and so it must be wrong. And then without knowing it, what happens is we start to worship the false gods of comfort, money, pleasure, and things. Because once again, well, if it's good for me, then it must be right. And if it's, in my understanding, wrong for me, then it must be wrong. And so we start this cycle. But here's the problem. When we believe that above all else God wants us to be happy, suddenly we are forced to believe that and understand and think in ways that, well, that means God exists to serve me. But the reality is God does not exist to serve us. We exist to serve God. That if God is here to make me happy, what I do is I reduce the great creator and sustainer of the universe, the holy of holy, down to some kind of formula in my benefit and for my pleasure. Because I start to say things like, well, God, I said my prayer. I went to church. I tried to do good things and not bad things. I gave a little money. I helped the little old lady cross the street. I didn't try to run over that thing in the street that my neighbor calls a pet. Therefore, that means, God, my pains should all go away. I should get the job that I know I want. And I'll get that way the house that I've dreamt of and the person that I've dreamt of and all these things. And because, God, I did my part, and therefore you should do what I want to do. You should bless me because, God, I said so. And the tragedy of that misbelief is what happens is we end up walking away from God because we said, well, I tried the church thing, and it didn't make me any happier. I tried the God thing. I even went to a Bible study once. You know, I even read the Bible for a little while until I got to Leviticus and it just got beyond me and I couldn't quite understand it. I did all these things, and yet I still have cancer, or I still am having relationship issues, or I still have kids that I just want to lock in a closet. You know, I'm still not any better financially. I tried religion and it just didn't work. I'm not happy. And when you're not happy, it forces you to believe that somehow God has failed you. And then here's the core issue, as we start going down with this wrong assumption over and over again, which leads us to a very dangerous place. Now, after all that fun, let me say this. I do believe that God delights in our joy. I do believe that God delights when we are happy. It brings him joy, just as any parent is delighted when their child experiences joy or happiness. But that's not his highest priority for our lives. It's not for us to pursue happiness. That doesn't make him, that's not his highest goal. That's the Bill of Rights. That's not Scripture. God wants us to pursue him. That's his goal. And let me clarify, we don't pursue him for the byproduct of happiness. I don't pursue him, you know, God, so that he'll give me what I want. We pursue God for who he is, for his kingdom, and that alone. So I want it, and there's different reasons for that, but let's talk about two specific reasons that God doesn't want us to pursue happiness as the end-all be-all. First of all, the first reason I find that God doesn't want us to pursue happiness is when it causes you to do something wrong or unwise. And we've talked about this before. God doesn't want our pursuit to cause us to do stupid, sinful, or wrong things. But that's what many of us do in our pursuit of happiness in our life is we declare, well, this is going to be fun. And then it's going to make me happy. And it may be fun or happy for a little while. But Proverbs 14:12 reminds us that there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end it leads to death. This is because when we believe that above all else God wants us to be happy and to pursue happiness, then we end up doing things that are unwise or wrong in the pursuit of that happiness, because that belief system then again empowers us to do what is actually wrong and justify it in our minds. For example, and the list can go on and on and on of these kind of examples, but let's say, you know, you have a job and it's doing what you need to do to keep ahead of things, but you really don't like that job. You hate that job, let's say. You really need a job, but you don't like the one you have, so what you do is you just want to, and maybe you decide, well, I'm just going to walk into the boss's office and the old song comes to mind, take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. But the thing is, now you don't have a job because you didn't think ahead enough to find a job. But you got rid of the job that made you unhappy, but now you can't pay the bills, and that makes you unhappy. So they you justified, well, it made me happy, and the list goes on and on. We can talk about areas of relationship. We can talk about entertainment. We can talk about money. There's countless things that we do in this world because it makes me happy that are unwise or even downright sinful. But here's the thing. If you're a follower of Jesus, if you hold to the fact that Jesus is Lord, that he died for our sins and rose again, you have to understand we have a higher standard that we are called to pursue. It's not about asking what makes me happy, but the real standard is, are the choices that I'm making honoring God? And Peter, 1 Peter reminds us, says, but just as he who has called you holy, so be holy in all you do. But I admit that many people practically want to change one key word in this sentence. They want to say, but just as he who has called you to be happy in all you do. But the second thing that I find that God doesn't want you to pursue happiness is when it's only based on the things of this world. And this is a key one. It's stunning what the world says you need to have to be happy. Just think about it with me. Here's the formula that culture says, you know, is true. Basically, it's all about possessions. It's got to be newer, faster, shinier, bigger. And then we add, but we also got to have peaceful circumstances. So we got to talk about the absence of all conflict, but we're going to add thrilling experiences, the perfect vacation, the fun experience, and you know, the big hit, the big thrill. And then we're going to add on top of the possessions and the biggest and the best and those great experiences, we've got to add the right relationship. So if you're not right, I'll trade you in for someone that's different. Newer, younger. And then I want to add, well, of course, it's got to look right. I've got to look right. So we've got to tuck it, lift it, pull it, puff it, smooth it, shave it, whatever. So the world declares over and over this formula that is just constantly pursuing the next thing that will make you happy, and yet you find out you're not happy because, you know, you've got to have the better possessions, the peaceful circumstances, the thrilling experiences, the right relationship, the perfect appearance, and that equals what? Supposedly happiness. The world says if you can keep that up, you'll be happy. The problem is all of those things are based on happenings or trends. They're always changing. That's why no one finds true joy in those things. Yeah, they'll find temporary glee until it breaks or it gets less shiny. But no one finds true joy in the things of this world because they're counterfeits. I'm not saying those things are bad in and of themselves, but they're not the real thing we're to pursue. So even as the world says, well, if you get this, if you buy this, if you have this, if you trade this in, if you get this, then you're going to be happy. And yet what you'll find is that you're still not happy. Because those earthly things were never intended to be the fulfillment of what God has designed you to be and to enjoy, which is based from a relationship with God. 1 John 2, this will be our key passage this morning. Verses 15 through 17 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And I just want us to pause in that. Think on that verse. Where are your pursuits? Because he continues, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires, they pass away. They're gone. But whoever does the will of the Father lives forever. I have to remind myself often in this because I'm just like everybody else. I'd like to have that thing. But that's not where my calling and where I really am understanding I'm going to get true happiness from. You see, God's highest calling, remember, isn't for our happiness. God has something better for you than happiness. He wants you to be blessed. And while happiness is based on trends and happenings and this and that, it's a feeling that's always on the move. The blessed life is based on God's goodness and presence. In fact, the Greek word that's translated here for the word blessed is makarios. It means supremely blessed. It's literally translated more than happy. And the problem is, though, if I tell you that God wants you to be blessed, most of us will think, well, that means more money, perfect health, and so on. Because we want to think in these physical things of this world, but that's not what the blessed life is. When God wants you blessed, it doesn't mean that you won't have a bad day. It doesn't mean that your kid won't fight on the way to school or church. It doesn't mean that your car won't break down. It doesn't mean that you aren't going to have health issues at one point or another, because these things happen. What it does mean is that you will experience the goodness of God in the middle of the difficulties of life. That's the blessed life. In fact, Jesus told us that in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. That's a promise we can hold on to and look to. The problem is that we're looking for this pain-free, perfect life, and if we don't have it, we start to blame God. When the reality is that God wants to be active in our life, even as we live within a sinful and broken world. Just because you're blessed doesn't mean that you're not going to have or feel weak at times. It doesn't mean that you're not going to have storms in the midst of your life. But what it does mean is that in the midst of all of that stuff that we wish wouldn't happen but does, that we can fully experience the peace of God. That we can have that blessing. Blessing is the supernatural peace of God that goes beyond our ability to understand or really even comprehend it. It's a peace that guards our heart and our mind and our soul in Jesus. Now, some of you even today, you're in the middle of something you wish you would never have to go through. I get that. You feel that you don't even have what it takes, you know, to go on. And yet, for some reason, the presence of God, you can attest that it's there. Even in the midst of this, I know you are there and that you are giving me something that goes beyond the feelings of this life. And people will watch you and they ask, well, how can you go through this like that? And the only response we can have is, it comes from God. That those who are mature in Christ recognize that you can actually rejoice, not for the sufferings, but in the midst of the sufferings and the trials, because you know who holds you. That you develop this perseverance, that God is developing this perseverance in you, and that we understand, and Scripture tells us that the perseverance must finish its work so that we can be found mature and complete in Christ, not lacking anything. Now, I recognize that I have been through different things that I wish I didn't have to go through. But I also recognize that in the midst of having gone through those things, that I am now who I am because God has been with me in the midst of those things. Amen. So that as I walk through this and I can know Him more intimately, and as I continue to pursue Christ in and everything, and I continue to be more faithful to Him, that I experience the goodness of God in a way that I couldn't have on on even a good day. But I found that his goodness is in the midst of whatever circumstances I'm in. In Psalm 37, David says that we are to take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I like that. The word delight here, though, comes from the Hebrew word anag. And while in our English words we translate it as delight or happy or to enjoy, it really carries with it this idea of soft and pliable. I am soft and pliable. I'm adjustable when I am in the presence of God. In other words, as we seek God, as we enjoy God, as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, as we pursue God, as he is the object of our affection, we'll enjoy his presence. We're delighting in him. And then what happens is that God gives us his desires. His desires become our desires, so that when we pray according to his will, we say, God, you know, your will be done on earth as it is already in heaven. He gives us what we pray for, because we're praying specifically for his will. And suddenly I'm enjoying God. I'm being conformed to his image. And he's given me his desires. And now I'm praying, not my will, but your will. Not the perfect life, not the pain-free life, but God, in the midst of all of this, it's something better than happiness. It's joy unspeakable. It's peace. It's supernatural strength. When I'm weak, when I can't go on, God is there. Suddenly his power, his presence carries us on. Max Lucado shares a story. He says it like this. If you took a fish out of water and you put it on the beach, you ask the question, would it be happy? No, because there's no water. So what we do in our humanness is we decide, well, I'm going to make this fish happy. I'm going to give him a big old wad of cash. That'll make him happy. Nope. He's not happy. Well, what if we give the fish a lounge chair, a nice drink with an umbrella in it, and we'll give him a nice book to read, and that's happiness. We all see it all over Instagram and Facebook. That's happiness. That fish ain't happy. The reason is because the fish wasn't created for the sand. The fish was created for the water and my dinner plate. Yeah, he wouldn't be happy on my dinner plate. Similarly, for us, if you have everything the world has to offer, will you truly be unlimitedly and lastingly happy? The answer is no, because you weren't created for that. You were created for a relationship with God that is meant to last for eternity. You were created to glorify the God of the universe. He's not here to serve us. We're here to serve him. And no new car, no new house, no new job, no new relationship is going to satisfy the ultimate cravings of our heart that can only be filled by God himself. Some of you have tried everything out there. You've partied, you've consumed everything that you could, you've traded relationships for others, you've had the job, and yet you understand that nothing truly fulfills in those things. And that's because you weren't created to be satisfied with the things of this world. There's something so much more. And that's solely a life that is submitted to God. Happiness is going to never be found in the trends or happenings of this world. True delight is only found when we pursue a relationship with God. It's deeper than happiness. It's more fulfilling than happiness. It's blessings. It's joy unspeakable. It's peace. It's His power and His presence. And it's an eternal calling for each and every one of us. God doesn't want you to be happy when it causes you to do something wrong or sinful or unwise. God doesn't want you to be happy when it's only based on the things of this world. Because God has something far better for each and every one of us. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to tap into Him. He wants you to be tapping into His goodness, not that no matter what and in the midst of anything and everything, that we understand that God is working for our better, for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. We can have all the things of this world and still be missing out. If you wonder how I know that, I've watched it on TV over and over and over. There are a lot of people in this world that have or had everything and yet still struggled because they missed the point. To the point that they thought they had no life and took their life. Our pursuit, our design by its very nature is to be one relationship with God. That's our full pursuit. And out of that, all the other stuff can fit in its place where it belongs. But it is never where God was meant to be from the outset. And so we live in gratitude. We take all that other stuff and we put it in its proper place in subordination to God. And we pray, Heavenly Father, thank you. God, I realize that I've put so many things where only you belong. I've tried the relationships. I've tried the car or the truck. I've tried the house. I've tried the food. I've tried all these different things that in a part of this world, but they never fully satisfy. But Heavenly Father, I can attest today that only you truly satisfy. That my pursuit is to truly be called to you, a holy God. That I have a higher standard than just the things of this world. That God, you call us, each and every one of us, into that relationship that you've granted us through your Son. That we can truly experience freedom in your holiness because of the sacrifice of your risen Christ. And so we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the joy, the gentleness, the peace, the patience, all these things that the world clamors for, we find in your Spirit that lives in us. And so God, we thank you today. In your name we pray. Amen.